coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, and we refuse to be silenced, except for self-imposed times of silence. We had a situation in our studio where we had a water issue, actually, and water and electronics don't mix. Did you know that? I spent the weekend uncurling Eric the Tech's hair because, you know, you have 220, 110, and yeah. No, seriously, we're back up and running in full swing, and I appreciate your patience. I want to thank everyone tuning in. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. I've got a great show for you, and I got to tell you something. This is coming right now is a gentleman who I must have received upwards of 100 emails from listeners, from supporters, from people I don't even know, saying, look, you've got to tune in to Dr. Paul Cottrell. You've got to. And I did. And I got hooked. I was watching, and then I went backwards through his videos and then forward through his videos. And the next thing I know, it was like 2 days later. Okay. Let me tell you something. In the news today, you've got political issues. You've got so many things taking place. Of course, today's President's Day. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, but among the headlines is this coronavirus, the novel coronavirus, or it's got a special name. And I figure, look, if we're about the information, we're about solutions, I figure let's get specialists' take on this. Now, Dr. Paul Cottrell is not a medical doctor. He is a researcher in chaos theory and has interest in modeling financial markets. Now, some have considered him a polymath of sorts. He's born in Detroit, Michigan. I won't hold that against him. He's got extensive professional experience in engineering and design, and after retiring from automotive engineering, he pursued interests in corporate finance involving publishing, retail, nonprofit industries. He currently is a proprietary trader specializing in currency and energy markets. Now, in addition to modeling financial markets, his research and interests are in developmental economics, behavioral finance, complexity science. You gotta watch that. And energy industry, risk management, the use of AI in trading and financial markets. He's been awarded a PhD specializing in finance from Walden University. He's also earned an MBA and BS from Wayne State University. He's got engineering certificates from MIT. Yeah, so do I. No, I don't. Believe me. No. This guy's an academic. All right. Also award certificates from Harvard University. Currently at Harvard University as an ALM candidate specializing in biology and is in the pre-medical program at Fordham University. So you've got a pretty significant, formidable, knowledgeable man who has been studying the heck out of this coronavirus, out of this virus. And I have a lot of respect for him. After looking at his videos, watching his videos, the research he's done, it's just been absolutely incredible. And the more I got into looking at his research, the more I know that this has got some value to it. Extreme value. Which I would recommend. And this is what I recommend. I recommend, because this guy's out there alone, you know, I mean, he's out there. Please support his work. Okay. If you are listening to this and you're saying, you know what? I got to support. I want to support people like this. Support his work. The link will be in the program description box. And I'll let him, when he comes on. Now, there's his Patreon account. Let me tell you something. That number to the left should be like 20,000 times that for the work that he's done. And you might say, well, you know, no, do it. Seriously. And I'm going to be putting my money where my mouth is. But I'm going to let him fill in the gaps as to his his website, and of course to reconfirm that Patreon account as I bring him on. But and here's how I want to approach this, Doctor. If you're listening, here's how I want to approach this. Because there is so much white noise out there about this, and there's so much misinformation and disinformation about this virus, please do me a favor. Pretend that I kind of crawled up on this, on shore after being a sea for the last, I don't know, 2 months without radio, without internet, without newspapers. And, you know, like, I don't know anything that's going on. And suddenly I hear people talking about this virus, and people are, oh my goodness, you know, it's bad. So if we can start from scratch, I suppose, that way anything that people have heard can be pushed aside, and you can give us your presentation, your findings, your research, and well done research, I might add, clean. And that's the way I like to, by the way, when I look at, I'm an investigator by profession, so when I look at various crime scenes, I don't like to look at the notes of previous investigators. I like to look at it with fresh eyes, and then I'll consult the notes from investigators. But with that, I want to welcome Dr. Paul Cottrell. Sir, welcome.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Oh,
it's,
thanks.
It's an honor. It truly is an honor, and I have been watching several of your shows over the years.
And you're not in therapy. That's a good sign. All right. Or at least not that I know. All right. I appreciate
No,
that.
No, I'm not. I'm not in therapy.
All right. Okay. So I've given your bio out. Is there anything I'd forgotten or you need to add about that?
Well, I'd like to give a little bit of a, some family history.
Okay.
My father's side came to the United States in 1790 and fought in most of the wars that this country has fought in, including the Civil War on the Union side. And my brother served in the military. My father served in the military during the Vietnam era. And so we have a family that is very patriotic. And not only that, on my mother's side, they escaped the Holocaust through Canada and into Detroit. So there's the Detroit connection. But some of the family members were not able to escape Nazi Germany and Romania specifically. And my great grandmother was killed, you know, in the Holocaust, as well as my grandmother's brother. Wow. So, you know, I have relatives that have survived and died in the Holocaust.
Wow.
So, you know, I take this from a patriotic point of view. And I also take this from a Jew that is seeing this from a Holocaust perspective. For example, I think what's going on in Wuhan is a Holocaust-esque situation. You know, we have lots of cremations reports going on. The crematoriums are going 24/7. So this is very visceral for me, and I am concerned about our civil liberties. When you look at the erosion of our civil liberties since 9/11. So that's where the patriotism and the family history through the Holocaust kind of coalesce into this this synthesis that I'll be presenting.
Now I see where you get your passion from. Now I understand this a lot better, and I appreciate you giving us that background. My goodness. So you've got skin in this game on multiple continents. So I understand this.
That's right. I mean, you know, I find it is my civic duty to take the talents I have to the best of my ability to inform the public and save our Constitution.
And you see this, and we'll be getting to this, I'm sure, you see this as, without giving away too much, I spoke to your scheduler today, and you see this as a really grave threat to our civil liberties. I trust that's what you're saying, right?
Yes, I am very concerned. I'm very concerned that there is a what I call the BioPatriot Act to be rolled out that will force vaccinations. I call this particular event a slow rollout of 9/11. As we all know about 9/11, it was quick. It was, you know, the buildings fell down. People were scared. We, you know, fought the bad guys, but what we did get during that whole event was the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act was a never-ending surveillance state. And there was scope creep over the last 19 years. And that scope creep I'm very concerned about because of the 5G rollout. So I see this particular event, this biological event, as not just a pathogenic event, but an erosion of our civil liberties if a BioPatriot Act is rolled out. And the HHS and the CDC have in their guidelines, and certain state legislatures have dormant bills that curtail your civil liberties when it comes to what they can do to your body in an emergency. And I think that we need to have a larger discussion in the public eye, in the public view, about what the government is planning during an outbreak. So I've been trying to look at this problem from the scientific side, dealing with the genome and possible treatments at the homeopathic level and at the allopathic level, how to prepare if there is an outbreak in terms of food, in terms of trying to help your neighbor, and the sociological aspects of it, because the government isn't transparent. People are going to be fearful. We're already hearing about primary, secondary, and tertiary overflows where the military will be involved. It's not the government's not being transparent. So that's an issue. And I'm very concerned about this what I call the BioPatriot Act that could be rolled out.
Okay.
I see this as a 20-year erosion of our civil liberties on top of trying to make sure that our citizens are safe from a potentially deadly pathogen that we call the Wuhan virus or COVID-19 now.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot to be concerned about. And, knowing this going in, I'm concerned as well. And I'm growing concerned by the day, but really by the hour. And if you listen to Dr. Paul Cottrell, you will be concerned as well. Sir, your website is the Studio Reykjavik?
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce
it? Reykjavik.
I can slaughter the easiest of words. So, all right.
It's all right.
It'll be in the program description box on multiple platforms. Okay.
Just an anecdotal statement about the website name, the studio. I live in New York. So, I live in New York. So, New York City. So the where we live is, very small, right? Because we live vertically. You don't live in suburbia anymore. Right. And the Lehman crisis, dealing with, this chaos thing, it really started in Iceland. And it was because of subprime borrowers in Iceland that really started the ball in motion. So when I started my prop trading, I named, my company Reykjavik because of, the genesis of the financial crisis was actually in Reykjavik. But that's just a side note.
Well, and we do have people wondering, well, why'd you pick that name? Well, there it is. Okay.
Well, that's right.
There it is. All right. Yeah. Okay.
You'd be amazed at how many people actually, they look into some of the things that are in my background or whatever. Are they, is he a Freemason? Is he not? It's like, I'm just trying to save my country. I'm just trying to help people because, I had a brother that passed away at 36 from heart disease. That was the reason why I went into, studying medicine, and because I wanted to go to medical school and help people that had cardiac problems. So, I am a person that is a doer. I'm a person that wants to institute change, but positive social change, not just change.
Right.
And that's important that we as a people will come together, because the Constitution is we the people, not the government. And this is a big problem where over time, through fear, we have been fractured and we have a right and a left, or, the Democrats and the Republicans or whatever. But we are really just Americans. And if we the people come together and solve this crisis together, we can reduce that eye in the sky power, you know, that you know, is tearing us apart and eroding our constitutional rights.
And that's so important given the opening that you did. Yeah, we need to come together. This country has never been so divided than it is now. So we need to put our country first. I mean, our families, our God, our countries first, and our country first, and work together on this. But I'm not sure what this is. If you can start at the beginning, this is the Wuhan. Okay. Where did it start? What is it? What are we dealing with? Again, pretend I just kind of crawl up on the beach there. And tell me what's going on.
All right. Going all the way back to 2010, possibly all the way back to 2007, researchers were trying to understand the biology of why coronaviruses, especially SARS, because SARS is a coronavirus, why the bat species was the natural host. So a researcher named Piang Zhao and his research group were bioengineering a virus that took different pieces of SARS, a coronavirus, a bat SARS-like coronavirus, and a HIV homology, blended it all together into a new genome to study how the bat is the natural host. And through that research, you would be able to design therapeutics like antiviral medications or vaccines against severe coronaviruses. That was the goal. That was the biology. That was the science going all the way back to 2010, or maybe as far back as 2007. We have research papers that follow the trail that show this was bioengineered, but not for nefarious reasons, but for a biological study to understand why this pathogen is harbored in the bat host.
I get that. Okay.
Okay, now we fast forward to today. Because that pathogen is classified as a level 4 pathogen, or a P4 in China, the protective 4, it was in a facility called the P4 Wuhan facility, which is roughly 20 miles away from the fish market that supposedly in mainstream media, that's where it started. All right, but we have cases of individuals contracting the Wuhan virus or COVID-19 before December 1st, all the way back to possibly end of October, early November, that are not associated with the fish market. So there was a leak that took place from P4. This virus is bioengineered, not zoonotic. Zoonotic meaning from the animal kingdom naturally. Okay?
Right.
We know this by looking at the genome. When we looked at the genome that was published by the NIH, you can do a blast search. And that's what I did. I did a blast search and I looked at different organisms that are related to the actual genome that was released. And we saw big chunks of nucleotides added to the genome. So this proves unequivocally that this was bioengineered. But again, we got to keep in mind that when we hear bioweapon in the news,
right,
you can use a steak knife and use it as a weapon, but it was really designed to cut steak, right?
Right.
So just because something is bioengineered doesn't mean that it can't be used as a bioweapon. But this virus was leaked out from the P4 facility. It was not zoonotic. Now, the question is, was it leaked out on purpose or was it leaked out because of bad safety protocols? Other viruses have leaked out. SARS viruses have leaked out from the P4 facility. So it definitely leaked out, but we just do not know for sure if it was on purpose or if it was accidental. I am at the point because I'm trying, you know, just like you, you're an investigative reporter and, you know, I'm trying to use the scientific method, right? I create a hypothesis. I, you know, do some testing. I get some data points and I evolve to a theory. I may prove the hypothesis or, you know, or I may disprove it and I just, you know, reconfigure that hypothesis and move on. So where we're at right now is that it definitely came out of the P4 lab. We just do not know if it was leaked out nefariously or not. There is, so there's a lot of ways to take this problem. I want to tackle each pillar.
Okay.
So just try to follow me.
Sure.
The scientific pillar, the geopolitical pillar. So this virus attacks, so I'm going to be talking about the science side of this right now. So it attacks what is called the ACE2 receptor. Okay. Now the areas that the genome has been inserted in to make this more virulent is supercharging the replicase, which is the ability for the virus to produce its proteins and its RNA. It's an RNA virus. Okay. Like HIV is a retrovirus. It's a different type of family of virus. Coronaviruses are an RNA positive virus. Okay. So they supercharge the replicase and they supercharge the S protein. The S protein is the spike protein that attaches to the ACE2 receptor. And that gets into the cell and it starts to unravel, produce its proteins and manufacture the virus, goes in, you know, to different organelles and is packaged. Okay. I'm not going to get into all the details of the Golgi apparatus and how it, you know, gets spit out and all that, but basically it gets packaged in the cell.
All right.
And, then it's released. Okay. On the clinical presentation, many patients are seeing a drop in their white blood cell count. So we have a work. Normally your T cells will start to go up to fight infection. So the way this is designed with that HIV homology, that HIV homology is right where the S protein is, which is the key that goes into the ACE2. So they supercharged the S protein by putting HIV homology in the genome. So when it actually starts to code for proteins, the amino acids, sometimes an amino acid is neutrally charged, positively charged, or negatively charged. But if you put the amino acids in certain sequences, you can have different charges going around the actual protein. Okay?
All right.
And it allows it to fold a certain way. And if you have the right charge, if you have the ACE2, and you have a charge, let's say a positive charge here, but your natural S protein has a negative charge, let's say right here, it won't bind as well. So what they did was they used that HIV homology to allow it to dock correctly, having the right positive and negative charges. So it has higher affinity. So it's more virulent. So that's where the HIV homology comes in. I want to make it clear because a lot of people get scared when they hear HIV. Oh, they put HIV in the genome. You will not get HIV from this coronavirus. It's not a retrovirus. It doesn't have it. It's only four inserts that allows for the charge difference for the S protein.
Okay.
So I just want to make it sure that the public doesn't, you know, think, oh my God, coronavirus is an HIV virus. So it has HIV homology, pieces of it that makes it more virulent.
Okay.
Now I have a working hypothesis and we need to get more data on this is that I believe that it not only is it affecting the ACE2 receptor, I think it's also affecting the CD4 plus, cells, which downregulate the antigen presenting T cells. So I think this is the reason why we're seeing the white blood cell count go down,
which is going to say that
it's reminiscent. This is reminiscent of what was going on with AIDS. I'm not saying it's AIDS,
right?
But it has similar characteristics.
Okay.
But it's not AIDS. It's not AIDS. But it allows for the virus to kind of fly under the radar of the immune system, because the immune system can't upregulate the T cell antigen presenting cells to fight the virus.
And to be clear, if you've got something going on in your body, an infection, your white blood cell count would go up, right?
Right.
Typically. Right. All right. And in this case,
and this is designed to bring it down.
Right? Okay.
Exactly. That's the problem.
All right. Okay. Wow. All right. So just what you said there, you can honestly say, look, this was tweaked. This doesn't happen. Does this happen in nature? This kind of.
We work the probability of a bat naturally having bat SARS-like virus and SARS coronavirus and having HIV and being by the fish market. The probability is 0.00001%. So it's no way could this have been a natural selection zoonotic. This was bioengineered. And not only that, we have papers that go all the way back to 2010. Them engineering a virus to study it in the natural host. This is stated. And not only that, you realize that when you're over the target, they start, you know, playing with you. Yeah. They either pull down information from the internet or there were a bunch of researchers, and this is really important. All right. People that listen to my channel, it's just not me. I have a team of people helping because they care about trying to solve this problem. And a research paper was released on Cole Spring Harbor's website. They focus really on cancer research, but they have a open source database on papers. Well, there were Indian researchers, there I believe it was three of them, that did a bioinformatics study that proved that the Wuhan strand had the HIV homology with four inserts that are in the S protein area of the genome for Wuhan. I used that paper, which allowed me to prove that the glycoprotein 120 from HIV and GAG is in the Wuhan genome. Right. If it wasn't for that paper, I would have never been able to prove that. Wow. They pulled that paper down. Now, we're lucky that we saved the PDF and we mirrored it on different servers, and it's on my website. So anyone could now, the paper's out, even though they pulled it down from the Cold Spring Harbor website. And you got to remember, researchers try to get grant money from governments. That's how it's funded, or, okay, you know, private philanthropy or whatever. But if you don't toe the line, you don't get the research money, right? So, this is the reason why these labs are afraid to say some of these things that I'm saying. I can say it because I am not financially tied to anybody. So I have that freedom, but there's many researchers behind the scenes that are saying the same thing, but they just don't, they're afraid to get up in the public eye because they're afraid of their career, what's going to happen to their career.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
and I understand that. And you know, okay. So you're independent. You can say pretty much what you want. And, because you're independent, you're not controlled by the purse strings of some grant provider or some other institution. And it's amazing. Well, I shouldn't say it's amazing. Having a paper pulled down, you saving it, of course, that's very – thank you for doing that. All right. So, okay. So now – okay. If this has been around since 2010
for research purposes.
For research purposes. When did it zip out of the P-level P4 on China? When did it kind of crawl out and, you know, get among the population? When do you think?
Well, the official date is sometime late November, early December. We think it may be as far back as October, end of October. Now, what's important to understand, and this is where my skill set comes in, all right? Not only just the bioinformatics side, but I'm looking at it from a lot of different points of view. A good investigator has to look at it from different points of view.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because complex problems need multidisciplinary approaches.
Very true.
Okay. So the virus was leaked, we believe was leaked out from the P4 facility, probably end of October. But there was a war game that was sponsored by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Bloomberg's Philanthropic Foundation called Event 201.
Very familiar with that. October 18th of last year.
Right. Yep. Right. And they were talking about coronaviruses and they were, you know, they were game theorying how many people would die. And it was kind of like the new Spanish flu and how it would affect the economy and what sort of martial law would be instituted. I believe they were doing this predictive programming or what Noam Chomsky would say is the manufactured consensus. And they were moving this forward. Now, what's weird, and this is where I'm 65% on the side of it was accidentally leaked and 35% on the side that it was purposely leaked, but I'm not sure who did it. The reason why I say this is that there was a very cryptic message on Twitter by Miles Guo, G-U-O. He's a billionaire. He's against the CCP, and he's been very vocal on trying to pull down the CCP. But on January 4th, he posted a cryptic message where it states that China will live June 4th, 2020. If you take that date, okay, if you take that date and you divide it by two, June is the sixth month. So six divided by two is three. Four divided by two is two. Two plus zero plus two plus zero, which is the year, is four. Divide that by two is two. Now, this is a forward. People in the military understand that there's codes that happen and there's forward operations, especially if you have siloed troops or siloed operations where they only communicate with a certain code, but the two silos don't know what they're doing. I believe Miles Guo, through that tweet, started a CIA operation. And the 322 is the code for the CIA operation. And something big is going to happen on June 4th. Now, I'm for pulling down the CCP because of, one, they have the 1,000 talent plan where they've been doing espionage in the United States. Harvard's been involved with that espionage through Professor Lieber, who's been charged for dealings with the CCP.
Okay, what is the CCP, just to be clear?
All right, so that's the Chinese Communist Party.
Okay. Just want to make sure where our acronyms are the same. Okay.
Right. So we're talking about pulling down. We're talking about pulling down the Communist Party and President Xi's regime. So here, it's possible that it leaked on accident, but the CIA is using it as leverage to pull down Xi. But it's really weird, though, with that January 4th tweet of this year. And he must have known, because he has family and friends, he's a billionaire from China, he must have known how bad Wuhan was. And the United States had no idea what was really going on in China until January 22nd.
What was going on in terms of this virus or what was going on?
Yeah, in terms of the virus in Wuhan,
okay,
the Wuhan city. All Wuhan is in a province, you know, their province is like states, right?
Right.
So Wuhan is a large city and it's one of their largest technological cities, similar to kind of like our Silicon Valley. Kind of like if you took like Detroit and Silicon Valley and put them together, that's what Wuhan would be. It's very industrial and technological.
Interesting combination there. Okay. All right. And that's, wow. So the tweet was, China lives June 4th, 2020. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh.
But before that, in the same tweet, he talks about 10 seconds in 1 minute. And we think that there's a factor of six, but we don't understand it. There's a code in there.
Okay.
So it's cryptic. So people that are into cryptography maybe could uncode it, but the best that we could do was take a look at the date, and we believe it's forward operations. But I'm not against pulling down the CCP, you know, because we know that they have published that the 2025 plan where they want to control the first island chains and check the hegemonic power of the United States with our Navy. Right. So it's important that the United States, has control of those shipping lanes. Right.
True.
But people need to realize that what's going on is not just a virus. And it's not just our civil liberties that could be curtailed through a BioPatriot Act. But there is this give and take operation going on between the CCP and the United States to trying to control the Pacific Ocean. And the reason why we were moving our manufacturing back to the United States, especially steel, is so we have the means to make ships. Because the next war, if there is, hopefully there isn't, is going to be a battle of the Pacific.
That makes sense. I understand that. And we see what President Trump has been doing to reverse the decades of Chinese they've been ripping us off as a country, okay? So now, Xi Jinping has agreed to some trade deals that benefits the United States. So, and then you've got the uprising in Hong Kong, right? Does this play into this at all?
Absolutely. If you really think about it, how did they get all those American flags in Hong Kong and gas masks?
That's true. Well, it's
CIA. I'm telling you right now, it's CIA and the Five Eyes. The Five Eyes is, Australia, yeah, New Zealand, UK, so there's a Five Eye CIA operation going on to make sure that the first island chains do not fall to the CCP.
Okay. Well, okay. So now if I'm behind this, am I exploiting this escape from P4 for this purpose, or am I leaking it for this purpose and then employing it as a bioweapon in that respect? Or we don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
My heart is at the point where it was accidentally leaked and we're using it as leverage. That's where my heart is.
Okay.
But, you have to follow where the evidence is. I have no evidence to say that it was purposely leaked. There is evidence to say it was leaked, but how it was leaked is unknown.
Man, this is great. Folks, my guest is Dr. Paul Cottrell. His website is The Studio Reykjavik. It's going to be linked in the program description box in all venues. And, how fascinating is this? This is stuff you don't hear anywhere else. And this is why I would urge you to support, Dr. Paul Cottrell. I mean, listen to him. I mean, have you heard this before? Is the mainstream media talking about this? I don't think so. So we need more of this information. Okay. So why this weapon am I correct in understanding that this virus can affect, I mean, first of all, it can live outside the body for 24 days. It could, it'll kill you.
Kill you. So this is what we know right now based on the current research. And again, this is like a battle. And the facts change because of the fog of war.
Right.
But what we know as of right now is that it looks like it can live live in the body with and be asymptomatic for 24 days. Okay, and you can pass it on. It's possible to pass it on and be asymptomatic for 24 days. It can be on surfaces for as long as 9 days under correct conditions.
Okay.
All right. And we have an R0 value, or kind of like the transmission value, of approximately 4.6, as high as over 6. And what that means is for every one person that either is asymptomatic or symptomatic, could pass it on to 4.6 people, or all the way up to 6 people. So you can see that this can go through the society very quickly.
Wow.
And this is the huge concern that we have. Now, we also know, based on research that's coming out from the patients in China, that because of the ACE2, different cohorts patient cohorts upregulate ACE2 more. Everyone has ACE2 receptors. Okay. And it has a lot of different functionality in the body. One big one is maintaining blood pressure. But not only do you have ACE2 in your air sacs in your lung, but you also have it in your blood vessels and in your cardiac muscles and in your kidneys. So it's all over your body. So it's going to affect different people or different cohorts differently based on their particular upregulation of ACE2. For example, we know that people that smoke have upregulated ACE2 in their air sacs.
All right.
So individuals that smoke will have a higher susceptibility to this virus. Doesn't mean that you'll die from Wuhan, but it just means that you have more receptors. More receptors you have, the higher chance of getting that virus into your cells. We also know that males have the research currently is showing that males have more ACE2 than females. And there is a study that was published by China, but the power of the study is low because of the sample size is low. So we need further study that suggests that Asian males have more ACE2 than, let's say, Caucasian males.
Interesting.
So, but again, that, you know, this is, we're on the battlefield and facts change, but with the research that we have at the moment, it seems as though different cohorts will respond to this virus differently because of the ACE2 upregulation or downregulation. So women that are Caucasian probably will have more mild cases, while Asian males on the other side of the spectrum would probably have more severe cases. So that's the prediction.
Okay, so if you're listening to this and you're an Asian male walking down the street smoking a cigarette,
right?
You know, you might want to rethink what you're doing. Maybe, you know. Okay, so all right. So it seems to be because of the factors here, not because it was because of the factors here. I'll just leave it at that. That Asian male smokers compromised the systems are more likely to become infected, and the rate of infection is 4.6 to over 6, is what you're saying. In other words, for every one person, four one
the
person.
transmission rate.
Okay.
The R0 or R0 value.
All right. So,
but that number will change because the data sets change. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of noise in the data that's in China. We don't really know how many cases that they have for sure, and you know, how many true deaths. And this, it takes it to another dimension that's very visceral for me because of the Holocaust.
Yes,
they're running crematoriums 24/7. All right. And you can't be running crematoriums in Wuhan 24/7 if you only have 1,700 deaths from this.
No.
So the numbers where are you getting that information? Tens of thousands.
I mean, are we sure that they're running? I mean, I just want to be sure that they're running crematoriums 24/7 because I've heard this. I've gotten information from people on the street.
I'll call him a citizen journalist. Right. All right. He, you know, that was able to get documents and he put it on his website. His channel is Box Mining.
Okay.
And if you go to his website, there are documents that state the crematorium's running 24/7. Not only that, we have a video that has been leaked out that individuals that are running these crematoriums are talking in Chinese. Whereby they're complaining about the flow rate, you know, how many people that they have to cremate. And then the yellow bags, they use yellow bags to body bag these individuals.
Right.
And we've seen videos, you know, showing, you know, 30 or 40 of these in just one room. You know, so there's evidence, and it's not, you know, did the CCP announce to the WHO that they're cremating thousands of people a day? No.
No.
No, they didn't. But no. What we can do is take a look at smokestacks and you know, radar or smoke over the city. And there is a signature, a sulfur dioxide signature that it has been increasing. Now, you got to remember, when you cremate, it's not just the body. You also have to burn the contaminated material.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be lots of contaminated material in Wuhan. So you have to burn that. So it's not just burning bodies. So we realize that. But to burn a body takes about an hour and a half.
Right.
Okay. If you do it properly. Now, if you don't do it properly and you speed it through, maybe 50 minutes. But, you know, that's to have, let's say, 30 crematoriums and you're running 24/7. You can just do the math, and what's on John Hopkins' website isn't correct. There's no possibility that it's correct. Okay. Even if they were running half the day, only 12 hours, you still don't even come close to what's on John Hopkins. So, wow. You know, this, and not only that, it's important to note with Event 21, because of Bloomberg, a philanthropic foundation, he funds John Hopkins.
Bloomberg does.
Yes.
Okay. I put that right down here. Bloomberg funds Johns Hopkins. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there you go, folks. There's one connection. Interesting. All right. And on your screen, folks, if you're watching this at home, on the screen is reports are also being circulated. Chinese crematoriums are extending their operating hours. Of course, you heard it here as well.
That's from Box Mining.
Oh, that's from Box Mining? Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Now, he's the one that kind of leaked it out to you know, how he got that information, I don't know. But the thing is that to get the information, this is the big point. The internet has allowed citizen journalists to try to share information that the mainstream media either can't get or doesn't want to publish. And we're, you know, working as kind of like self-assembly networks to try to get the word out, because it's about transparency. Being transparent will save lives. And that is the whole point.
Amen.
It's not about promoting, you know, people's egos or people's channels. It's about saving lives.
And thank you for saying that, because I got to tell you, you know, it seems to me that there are people out there, and I, you know, they'll put proprietary stuff over saving lives or being transparent. I believe that, look, everything needs to be tossed out there. And as long as it's, you know, like you vetted it properly and investigated, you need to, I mean, people need to understand and hear what you're saying. Okay. So. All right. The Event 201, when I found out about it, really bothered me, but even more
so. It's spooky.
Yeah,
it is. Spooky. Because we got other data points, like when they were doing the simulations in the UK with the subway bombings.
Very true.
7-7 or 7-11?
7-7.
You know, and then they were doing simulations right on 9-11.
Yes.
So, I mean, there is a history of this where they do simulations and then they roll out the real thing later, maybe on the same day.
Right, on the same day, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
In the case of 9/11, so, you know, for all we know, Wuhan could have been leaked from P4 on October 18th. Huh. But here, you know, we don't know. But here's the weird thing. I call it the book ends. This is deep, what I'm going to say. All right. Okay. So just take it in. All right.
All right.
The Twin Towers fell in 102 minutes. And that launched this never ending surveillance state that we have, and this never ending war in the Middle East that in my mind, the military industrial complex was trying to do in Vietnam, a never ending war in Vietnam. But the people rose up and said, we're not going to have it.
Right.
It stopped. But for some reason, the never-ending war in the Middle East allowed for this encroachment on our civil liberties through the Patriot Act. The other bookend is event 201. Bookends are mirrored.
True.
102, the number of minutes that it took for the Freedom Towers to fall is the first bookend. The other bookend is event 201. It's the mirror. And that's why I'm trying to be, quote, the Paul Revere and saying, wake up. I'm worried of a Bio-Patriot Act, which there's elements of a Bio-Patriot Act already on the books with the HHS and the CDC being able to round you up and quarantine you, and you don't have any repercussions. You know, your civil liberties are curtailed. So it's like, yeah. You know, and we have on our website, under the data file section of the website, you can, is it the data file section? No, it's under medicine. On the website, if you click medicine, there are PDF files right underneath the X-ray. And there's two PDF files, HHS 1, HHS 2, and there's also a file that is a bill that was not passed, but it's been dormant in the New York State Legislature about curtailing your freedoms during a biological outbreak. So the Bio-Patriot Act that I'm talking about, whatever form whatever they want to call it, but I'm calling it the Bio-Patriot Act because obviously what happened right after 9/11 was called the Patriot Act, and we lost our civil liberties in a never-ending surveillance state with the NSA and, you know, FISA courts and never ballooning, you know, Homeland Security. Something similar is going to happen with the Bio-Patriot Act. So in those documents, have these elements of what I'm talking about. It's already on the books, but it hasn't been fully codified. And we already have Senate hearings that took place on the 5th of February where there are, quote, experts that are asking for appropriation money for a permanent cabinet position for pathogens, for, you know, to deal with pathogens. Well, if this is a very rare event, why do we need to appropriate money for a permanent cabinet position for pathogens? This is the beginnings of a Homeland Security version of a biological department, and that's going to erode your civil liberties. So I'm begging my citizens to download those PDFs, go to the Federal Registry and pull other documents off of the internet. This is all open source, and dive in and realize that they can control you just by saying, we think you have a pathogen. No proof. Proof whatsoever. You could be testing negative, and just because they think you have it, they can curtail your freedoms. And then what happens after we get past this crisis and we have a vaccine, independent of your vax, if you're a person that you know is for vaccinations, or on the other side of the spectrum, you're completely anti-vax. It doesn't matter. The point is that people should make the decision for themselves. Not some bureaucracy.
Correct.
That's the point I'm making. I'm not saying that I'm anti-vax or vax, but I am for safe vaccinations. And civil liberties. People should make the decision for themselves. The government shouldn't be telling you that you should be, you know, force vaxxed. And you can easily see they're already prepping us in the mainstream media on this. They're already saying this is going to be a virus that doesn't go away, that it's going to be seasonal. Well, now what they did was they opened up a vaccine program in our minds that we're now going to need a coronavirus vaccine, just like we do a influenza vaccine. Now, the influenza vaccine didn't get really into our minds that we have to do it, because there's 50 million people that get influenza and only 50,000 die. So the death rate is very low. But in the mainstream media, all you hear is the 50,000 that die.
Correct.
They don't tell you how many that actually get infected, which is very high. So the death rate is very, very low. But Wuhan, or COVID-19, is a high death rate relative to influenza. So there's more... There's more incentive by the government to try to convince people to do forced vaccinations with the coronavirus.
All right. If you don't mind me asking, you just made a statement there, and I want to make sure I got this right, that so they're coming out and saying, look, the coronavirus, the COVID-19 is going to be seasonal. In other words, it's going to be around forever, I would suspect, right? It's going to be around forever? Okay. And when you compare it to the normal flu, you said 50,000 die annually from the normal flu, right? And, you know, people focus on that number, but it's relatively down there compared to, well, COVID-19. Give me the number of COVID-19. If you get it.
Well, I mean, right now the data is showing we can only work with the data that they released from Johns Hopkins. But the data they have given us is about 1,700 people die and about 71,000 have been confirmed.
Okay. All right. And we're not sure about their numbers.
Right.
And certainly,
either the denominator or the numerator. So we don't, you know, but we can only work with the numbers that we have. But just anecdotally, just by looking at what's going on in Wuhan and how many people are infected, it's much worse than before.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
So
it's just, you know, if it looks like a duck and it smells like a duck, it's probably a duck. You know?
Man,
at least at this point in the time, right?
Exactly. Dr. Cottrell, can you hang with me for a little bit?
Yeah, no problem.
I know you're gracious with your time. Folks, this is a busy man, Dr. Paul Cottrell, the Studio Reykjavik. It's going to be in the program description box, all venues. I'm going to be right back, sir, where you're at. You're listening to the Hagmann Report today, Monday, 17th of February, 2020.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Wow. I'm so honored to have with me Dr. Paul Cottrell, his website, The Studio Reykjavik. It'll be in all the program description boxes. Well, in fact, just go to HagmannReport.com to be sure. HagmannReportLive.com. I'm sorry, HagmannReportLive.com to be sure. Once again, HagmannReportLive.com. And he's been generous with his time to extend his stay with us. And thank you so much. You know, I just understood this when you were talking about bookends and you're talking about the Twin Towers falling in 102 seconds. I don't know, man. You know, maybe it's because Monday. Maybe it's just come slow. I'm thinking, okay, 102 seconds is a bookend. And you said about mirror, and I'm like, okay. Oh, wait a second. Event 201, which is a mirror of 102. I get it now.
Right,
a little slow in the uptake there. Man, you can't fool me, guys.
Not only that. What is interesting is the chief architect, Daniel Lipskin.
Yep.
He's also, you know, a fellow Jew that survived. His parents survived Poland's Holocaust, you know, during the war. And so he was the master architect for the Freedom Tower. And what's interesting is the negative space of the Twin Towers. You know, they first went up in, they started construction in 1974. And there is a negative space in between it.
Right.
That is the hint of the future of the Freedom Tower, a one tower that was hidden in between the two.
God.
I know this sounds really deep,
no,
but
you know.
And I've met Daniel Lipskin three times, and we've talked, and you know, he has a book called Breaking Ground. It's an excellent read. That he's an architect, but he's also kind of a philosopher, and he adds poetry to architecture, and you use three dimensional objects to tell a story, and he's very famous on his memorial in Berlin of the Holocaust Memorial. So that you know, there's the, also a connection there.
Understood. Okay. Wow. You know, I can't remember the circumstances. Eric the Tech, were you with me? Somebody asked me if I was a Holocaust denier. And
sure that's come up.
Where was that? And I thought to myself, where the hell did you, first of all, I'm going to smack you. I can't remember, but it was just, it was a question that disturbed me, and I put it on my mind. But, you know, this is something that we have. And folks, if you are denying that, do not email me. Don't send me emails. Don't send me, just don't.
Okay. I mean, you know, the thing is that there are many people in the United States that they're no longer alive now, but, that had the tattoo, and that was undeniable.
Yep.
And, my great uncle had it. So, you know, and the stories that, you know, some of them wanted to talk about it, some of them didn't.
Yeah.
My grandmother didn't want to talk about it. My uncles did. So, but, you know, it did happen. But what's more important is to learn the lessons from it.
Yes.
That there is evil in this world, but we, if we band together, we can conquer evil.
We can. And, you know, there's more of us than there are of them. And whatever you want to classify as them, the evildoers, however you want to classify, but there's more of us. There's more of good people, I believe, people of faith, people of values, people of moral, morality and spirituality. So I believe that we can win.
Absolutely.
I really can. So, okay. So
it's the American spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the American spirit.
Yeah, and people decry American exceptionalism all the time, and I don't like that, and I tell them to stop, and they don't listen, and I whine. But no, it's.
But what's wrong with being exceptional?
Exactly.
Because the thing is, what it is that when problems arise or crises arise, it is our obligation to rise up to the occasion.
There it is, and that. Is what we've got. That's what's in our blood and our DNA, I believe. Okay. Yeah. So what's going on? So we know, okay, China's a flipping mess, man. CDC, I just saw this. I think it was dated the second. This is the first time in 50 years CDC's done anything with respect to quarantines. But okay. So China's a mess. You got all kinds of stuff going on there, and it's horrible if we are to believe our eyes. What about the rest of the world, including and especially America? Where do we stand? Because our listener base obviously is a large part of America, but all of the North America. But where do we stand? What the hell's going on? Why haven't we stopped people? If this is so bad, why are we just saying, come on in, come on in?
Well, you're bringing up a good point. And I think that it's important to also look at the financial pillar. All right. We know that the banks are on shaky ground because of the repo market.
That's right.
All right. And that's been going on for at least 6 months, maybe more. All right. And we know that there's been weird IT issues for, let's say, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, you know, so people say they can't cash a check or they can't go to the ATM machine. And then, you know, the next day it's back up and running. So there is something going on in the banking system between the banks where they lend to each other. The interbank lending is what it's called. There is some friction there, and the Federal Reserve is coming in and opening up their repo window to give these banks some cash in exchange of securities. All right. Now, if the and that's in a good economy where you have record unemployment, you know, record low unemployment, you have, you know, a stock market that's, you know, near record highs. And, you know, you have banking system that is on shaky ground. Can you imagine when the supply chains start to break down and plants such as, let's say, GM say, you know what, we're not getting our car parts from our tier one suppliers. We have to shut down the plants and lay off some of the workers. That's the beginnings of this deterioration in the economy. They don't want to create panic, because the banking system is on shaky ground. And I think this is part of the reason why the WHO is constantly, you know, basically kowtowing, literally kowtowing to the CCP and President Xi, saying how great they are with sharing information. Because they're afraid to be transparent. We don't want to create panic. That's not our point here, is to create panic.
Right.
But the thing is that we want transparency. Through transparency, we can solve the problem. What are the facts? What are the main issues that we need to address? And then we, as citizens and officials, can work together to get that fixed. But when they're not transparent, and then the real problem arises, we get frustrated, we get scared, people don't trust each other, and you know we have societal breakdown. Literally.
Yep.
Literally, Wuhan city is broken. It's completely broken down. And we don't want that in the United States. And that's why I said on many, you know, many times on my channel and other channels that we need to band together. Right. All right. We, the people, and realize that we can help our neighbor. You know, unfortunately, we've been fractured and we live in our little homes or little, you know, cubby holes, you know, and we think that if there's a problem, that it has to be government that provides a solution, you know, and this is part of the nanny state that it's been, you know, creeping up on us, you know, that's only because they've divided us. Once we are working more in our community and helping our neighbor, which there is a huge religious component to that, we can solve the problem and we won't need FEMA and the CDC and all these other agencies that are never ending a tax burden on us. We can solve the problem locally. And if you had a containment in an area, the surrounding communities could band together and provide material, help, food, water, medicines,
right.
And help that contained community. Why do we need the military? You cannot fight this virus with camouflage and M16s. But you can fight it with science and compassion. And the government is not being transparent on what the plan is if there is an outbreak in the United States. And I'm very concerned on that. You know, our DNA as a country is transparency. Unfortunately, right. We've been fractured and we've been focused on, you know, other things that are really not that important in the media. If you watch what's going on in the mainstream media, especially like CNN, you know, they're not covering what we're covering.
No, not at all.
At all. But this literally is the biggest event in the world right now, what we're talking about.
You know, I see people saying, oh, in 6 months, you won't even hear about this. You're saying, no. This defines, in a sense, it's going to be defining tomorrow's headlines.
It'll be defining tomorrow's headlines. Not only in death toll, but also the erosion of our civil liberties.
There it is. And that going back to your two, by the way, folks, the studio Reykjavik, under medicine, and I'll put a link to this. This is so important. The two documents, the two PDF files, this has been in the works for some time, obviously. The Biopatriot Act that you referenced, which is kind of the backdrop of this, it's my understanding. I mean, the government's going to be able to use your cell phone to diagnose you and to put you in the, this is like stuff of science fiction, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, what Spielberg, did in the movie Minority Report.
Yeah.
Is here.
It is here.
They have, AI algorithms, do predictive analysis, and they're going to go based on that. Then you have the social scoring,
right?
It's going to roll out. You'll have the 5G, so the information is more real time. In New York City, where I live, we have a never ending surveillance that the NYPD has,
yep.
Which I think is unacceptable. Every single street corner has a camera on it. They're using drones to surveil its citizens. They have X-ray vans, running around Times Square area for the sake of safety of its citizens because of terrorism. If we did not do the job in the 19 years after 9/11 in the Middle East to make this world a safer place, then we have seriously failed. But we did kill the bad guys in the Middle East. It's time to go back to a pre-9/11 day.
I agree.
We as citizens allowed the government to roll out certain procedures to root out the evil in the world, that caused terrorism, right? But we fixed that. Our military got the job done. All right. Now it's time for us to tell the government to roll back to a pre-9/11 day. And that's why I keep on mentioning if we don't band together and talk to our representatives, we're going to have this rollout of this Biopatriot Act. But I take it even one step further. It's time to roll back to that pre-9/11 day and curtail the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, and your own police department, because they should not have the type of surveillance technology and weaponry that's of military grade.
That's a great point. The absolute great point. By the way, I agree with you totally on rolling back pre-9/11, even though Tom Ridge, his brother David Ridge, is a practicing attorney. I've worked with him a little bit. Tom Ridge as an attorney, I did a little work with him. But he's actually my neighbor, about a mile
oh, really?
From my house, or was anyway. But he was the first head of Department of Homeland Security, and I just thought, how oppressive is this? At first, I was like, for it, and then I thought, and then you get red pilled and you understand what's going on, so I do. Yeah, take your TSA, take all this, and put it where the sun don't shine, and let's get back to
these guys knew what they were doing, because they did was they created fear. Your cortisol levels, your endocrine system, creates hormones. Well, when you're in fear mode, you're in a sympathetic state, and it creates this cortisol,
yep.
Right? And you're alert, and you're somewhat in pain, psychological pain,
yeah.
Because especially if it's over a long period of time. And the body wants that to go away. And the solution was this, we'll keep you safe.
Yeah.
And then people got their cortisol levels back down to a parasympathetic level, and fell asleep, and it was slowly creeping. There's this scope creep. All right.
You're right.
And I, when I moved from Detroit to New York City, it was 11 years ago. And I have seen this creeping of surveillance by the NYPD. Yeah. And that is part of the catalyst that I'm saying, hey, we need to wake up. We need to band together. We need to tell our representatives we're taking back our country peacefully and rolling back to a pre-9/11 day, and be careful of the erosion of our biological civil liberties, especially under the guise of this Wuhan crisis.
You're looking at the big picture. I like that. Okay. Before I forget, and Eric the Tech whispered in my ear, he said, make sure you talk to him about the protections that we could take as patriots, citizens, masks, perhaps, or whatever it might be. What do you recommend? Like preventive measures, supplements. What can we do? What can we do?
All right. That's an important question, and it's multifaceted.
Right.
One is know your neighbor. Get to know your neighbor, and realize that there are elderly in your community that are scared, and may not have the means to prep, and make sure you are there for them. All right. Mm-hmm. And so learn to get to know your neighbor network. Secondly, is if there is a lockdown, you're not going to be able to get food, all right? And so you're going to need at least 4 weeks of food, preferably, 2 months worth. But some people don't have those means. And having that network and working together, the community can provide to those individuals that may not have the means to prepare.
All right.
So that's why it's important that people network and help their neighbor. In terms of the medical industry, people do not realize that a lot of our pharmaceuticals are made in China. We do not have the transparency by the CDC of what is on our shelves, what's in our queue, what's in our stock of medicines. How many months worth of medicines do we have, especially the protease inhibitors, which will, or antiviral medications? So, the government needs to be transparent, but because they're not, the only thing that we can do is try to backstop it with homeopathic remedies. So I recommend you researching and trying to purchase things that are antiviral, antimicrobial. There are many different homeopathic remedies that do work. All right. But they are not a cure. If you're sick, you have to try to get to a doctor, but there may be a case where you can't get to a doctor. Right. And the only thing you have is the homeopathic method. Now, unfortunately the fracturing that we've talked about with the right and the left or the Republicans and Democrats is also happening in medicine. You have the allopathic and you have the homeopathic, the allopathic being, the medical doctors, and the homeopathic is, more homeschool, right? So,
yeah, yeah.
But the thing is that they can be synergistic. The ones that are homeopathic are afraid of doctors, and the ones that are more on the allopathic side are saying, homeopathic doesn't work. No, they're synergistic. So the certain things in the homeopathic realm, nutraceuticals, can help boost your immune system. So it's time to, start thinking about boosting up your immune system. Get that filtered water. Get that iodine drops. Get that zinc. Get that anti-inflammatory turmeric type, compounds.
Right.
There is a lot of research that is going on with NMN by Harvard, by Harvard professor named Dr. Sinclair, but which provides better mitochondrial health to help boost your energy. All right, you need energy to help fight the virus, so NMN is going to help. There's essential oils and thieves oil that have been known, that nano silvers out there that are antimicrobial. Colloidal silver is also helpful.
All right.
But, colloidal silver is helpful, but the nano silver, structural silver is actually a better silver technology.
Okay.
But colloidal silver will help.
Okay.
But, I use colloidal silver. But after interviewing two individuals dealing with the structural silver, nano silver, the military uses nano silver. So if the military is using it to fight pathogens, viruses, bacteria, then we should be using it too.
Yeah, I think so.
So that, I recommend the nano versus the colloidal, but the colloidal will work.
Okay.
But just nano is better.
Okay.
Just try to boost your immune system the best you can with the little time that we have. Now, some people that, listen to this channel and others, have been doing that for years.
Right.
And they have a pretty good immune system. So if they do get Wuhan, at least they have a charged battery. I've been using the analogy. You want to charge your battery to its fullest before you get the virus, because the virus will weaken your battery. Right. But if you already have a weakened immune system, and you get hit by Wuhan, you won't have the full charge to be able to fight it. So you have a higher probability of having more clinical complications and worse outcomes. And it's wow. It's very important, though, to mention to the audience that different cohorts, different types of patients, based on their particular immune system issues, their particular disease states, their age, their ACE2 upregulations, they are going to get affected by the Wuhan virus differently. Some people will have mild cases, others will have more severe cases. But try to boost up your immune system the best you can. So you need food, you need some, you know, nutraceuticals or homeopathic remedies as a backstop. And if you're sick, try to get to a doctor right away because you want to catch it early. Because if you let it fester, it can provide permanent damage to your lungs. There's fibrotic scarring.
Right. I heard you say that. I watched the video where you were talking about that.
Yeah. So there's fibrotic scarring in the air sac.
Right.
And the longer that you have that pneumonia, the worse it gets. So it's really important to try to get to the doctor. But if we have like a huge outbreak like we have in Wuhan in the United States, the healthcare system is going to break. And that's why I'm saying it's about the networks.
It's about the networks.
And being able to working together and trying to solve the problem, because that the medical system could break down. Now, and you can kind of see it anecdotally by looking at an ER. If there is a car accident in your town,
yep.
right, of let's say a pile up of six cars or whatever, and they roll those individuals in the ER, the ER is packed. They can't take any more. Now, can you imagine 20 or 30 individuals that have a level 4 pathogen
in the ER? Suck.
We don't have facilities for that.
No, we don't.
We can handle like a idiosyncratic situation of, let's say, Ebola, right? That we had just a few years ago. You know, it was just like, you know, one or two, three cases. We can manage that. We have a good healthcare system that can manage that. But when you have a ballooned out situation, an outbreak, our medical system cannot handle that. Most ERs don't have the clean rooms to be able to house the patients. Everything is going to be contaminated. Everything. And if you look at the ERs, they don't have, the Bio4 hazmat suits on. So your nurses and your doctors are going to get affected. You know, they don't know if you got the common cold or at Wuhan. And so your medical professionals are going to get sick, and that you're going to have a lower supply of those. On top of not having enough nurses and doctors in our, quote, healthy, population.
Yeah.
There's a high probability if there is an outbreak, in the tens of thousands, that our medical system will break down.
I can see that. Yeah.
And why aren't we hearing that in the mainstream media? Why aren't we hearing that from the CDC? Why aren't we hearing that from the NIH? Why aren't we not hearing that from, the higher officials in government? Because this is an existential threat to our country. And that's why the citizen journalists that are, living in the YouTube world and in the internet world yep. are trying to raise the voice to try to inform people, get ready, be prepared, work with your neighbor, and hunker down, and we can solve this. But we have to work together. Don't fight each other. Don't think that it's you versus them. This country is about working together. All those stars that are on that flag, That is states representing working together to make a more perfect union. That's what we need to start thinking about in terms of fighting this virus. And the agencies that are not being transparent to the citizenry, that's the wrong way to play it. And the Indeed. Ones that are running these agencies that hopefully they're listening to this channel, be more transparent and we can work together. We can work bidirectionally instead of this totalitarian type style of management.
I agree. I got to tell you, for the last month or so, or however long you've been doing this, you've been providing so much information to the public. I've got to thank you because you are just, you're doing a great service to the public. And, I don't know where my level of understanding would be without your channel. So we have to, like you said, lift each other up and work together. And I do want to make sure that your channel is lifted up, your YouTube channel. What is your YouTube channel?
It's just Paul Cottrell.
Okay. That's what I thought.
If you just type Paul Cottrell, coronavirus, you know, there's tons of videos. Yeah.
Yeah. And you do fun work there. All right.
Not only that, I've been going on other channels and, I'm joint venturing with Oppenheimer Ranch. Also, we do, every other day or every third day updates.
Good.
So, I'm on, multiple channels trying to get the word out.
And here I've held you hostage for more than you agreed to, which I thank you. But
I will be here as long as you want, because this conversation, Doug, will save lives.
I will
be here until the cows come home to make sure that my country, that I do my part to save my country.
Well, okay. Yeah, kind of just wrapping this up. What are you doing? You live in New York City. I don't know if I'd want to live in New York City right now, given all the things going on.
Well, I didn't think that Wuhan was going to happen. I moved to New York City 11 years ago. And the reason why I moved to New York City, and it's somewhat of a spiritual reason. I was in automotive engineering in Detroit, and I was working actually on a project in South Korea when 9/11 happened. I saw the destruction of the towers from afar. I saw it from outside in, while most of my countrymen and women saw it from inside.
Right.
And so when I flew back into Detroit on September 16th of 2001, I saw all the flags waving and, all the patriotism. And, I was kind of like in a daze. What's going on? There was a lot of fear, and then we started moving operations in Afghanistan and in Iraq and whatnot. But there was a calling of wanting to be part of a new renaissance in Lower Manhattan. That's where I am. I mean, I'm very close to the Freedom Tower. And I wanted to see, I actually literally saw putting in the first steel underground for the Freedom Tower. And I have pictures of it as the Phoenix is rising. All right. And I am part, a small part, with many other of my New York citizens, a small part of being part of that renaissance.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Well, okay. And thank you for sharing that. I think that's important for people to understand too, given your history, given your family history, wow.
Well, that's the thing, is that when you see a problem, you don't run away from
it.
You step up and you try to do with the skill sets that you have and work together to work the problem, not run away. There's the firefighters, there's firefighter types and there are non-firefighter types. The non-firefighter types, they see a fire, they run away. The firefighters run into the building trying to save people. And that's what we're trying to do right here.
Run towards the gunfire, run towards the fire. I get that. So what are you doing personally to protect yourself outside of, making sure your immune system's up? But what are you doing? How is your life affected, if it is, given the fact that you live in a large area? I mean, are you washing your hands more? Well, are you not taking buses?
There's many dimensions to this. In terms of hygiene, you got to wash regularly. I am trying to reduce going outside and using mass transit.
Okay.
In New York, you use buses or train, the train system. So I very rarely go out. So any packages that do come into the house, they have to be wiped down with like a Clorox, type wipe.
Okay.
I have already stocked up on food. I have about 4 weeks worth of food. Okay. Because, living in a small area, it's hard to, stock up.
Sure is.
Compared to suburbia. But, food and water, we have that, stocked up. All my nutraceuticals, I have months of supply now. And on my webpage, and YouTube, I have, a video of what actual antiviral medication I would be taking if I start feeling sick. So, if someone, but they need to do their own research, but I have a video of what I will be doing. All right. and other people can follow suit, or do other homeopathic remedies, just in case the medical system does break down. The other perspective here is people need to realize that it's about hygiene. If you've been outside, make sure that you don't walk around with shoes in your house. You know, keep them by the door. Keep your floors clean.
Been outside. In other words, right. Okay, I gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Anyone that's walked outside, make sure you clean your jacket, the clothes that you've worn, wash them immediately. Don't have them, sitting in the hamper for days on end. Make sure that you wash your towels in your bathroom, in your kitchen every other day. It's proper hygiene. You got to think in terms of proper hygiene. Because of what happened with my, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show or not, but my brother passed away when he was 36 from a heart attack.
That's what you mentioned, but right? Nothing. Okay. More
so,
than that.
So, and I wanted to, go to medical school. I am relatively concerned now because of me, trying to raise the alarm and play the Paul Revere on this. When I get interviewed for medical school, if I'm even going to be able to get in, I'm putting my future of medical school on the line. So people need to realize that I'm not some shill trying to grow a channel or anything. I'm putting my medical career on the line on this to help people, to save my country and our constitutional freedoms. And I hope that this resonates in the citizens that I'm speaking to right now to stand up and do something for your country. We need your help in whatever capacity it is. Everyone has different gifts, but if we bring those all together, we can solve this problem. It's the American spirit. I do not believe in fatalism. I believe that if there is a will, there is a way.
I agree with you on that. Until the last breath is taken, there's always a chance. There's always a way, in my view. Right. Okay. I love the big picture nature of this let's work this problem. What should people look for? I hope you'll come back, but what should people look for? In other words, in the next week, 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, is there something that they'll tip us off and say, oh, wait a minute, this is really bad?
Right. So on my channel, I've been talking about I've been looking at what I call the seed centers in the United States.
Yep.
All right. I believe the big outbreak will happen in California because it has more seed centers there. But I think that there's something nefarious happening with the CDC. I have a whistleblower that is saying that the CDC has tested for, in Buffalo, New York, 6 cases tested positive for COVID-19, and they have not informed the public. I have also called Chuck Schumer, my senator, to get information about why this information has not been released by the CDC. His offices are closed because of the weekend and right. because of the holiday. And, I'm going to be reaching back to him tomorrow. Hopefully I'll get an answer. And, I'll keep on bugging him about this. But according to the whistleblower, his wife works at one of the hospitals, 2 hospitals within the Buffalo area.
I've got family.
There's 6 cases that have been confirmed with COVID-19. 5 of those cases are mild. One of them is more severe. Here's the problem. They weren't recalled back to the hospital. They're in the public. And that's the problem. That's a big problem. Uh-huh. And they just don't want to create panic. And I have a hard time believing that Buffalo, New York has 6 cases confirmed and we don't have anything in New York City.
Yeah.
There's something awry there. There's something awry. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. And, you're an investigative journalist. You know the deal with this. You're like a hound and you get the scent and you keep on following it. Something doesn't make sense.
No, no. And just, I don't mean to correct you. I'm an investigator by profession. Journalist, just play one on TV.
Okay.
But no, and I got family in Buffalo. So, and I heard this and it was kind of an anecdotal reference about Buffalo. I heard this, this is over the weekend. I heard this because I was working and anyway, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just kind of chalk this up to maybe, because it was from actually a family member who said this, and they heard it from somebody on the one of the hospitals. I won't mention which one. It's a big one. I'll just say that. And okay, so you're right. If there are cases, even if they're mild, they didn't call them back, they're still carriers. So then we go back to your kind of, you know, 4.6 to 6.6 and higher, 4.6 to
right.
6 and higher rates of transmission. You
exactly. So I predicted last week that we would actually see an outbreak of about 10 new cases at a seed center, and I thought that it would happen on Thursday of last week.
Okay.
I think it's happening. It's just that the CDC is hiding it.
That's okay, because I remember you you said that somewhere. I don't know. I heard you say that somewhere about the last week.
Mm-hmm. I was predicting that last Thursday was going to be the outbreak.
Okay.
And I think it's happening. It's just not published. And the CDC knows about it. And that's why I'm reaching out to my senator. And I'm hoping that other individuals in their particular, you know, parts of the country reach out to their officials and say, what's going on with the CDC? And how many real cases are testing positive with COVID-19? Because I think this is not idiosyncratic. I think this is all over the country, this problem.
Should we be on the phones that, as you said to our reps and stuff, but should we, I mean, can you call the CDC and say, hey, get with it, give us the truth, or, I mean, or just our representatives?
I was attacking it from, calling this my senator.
Okay.
I wanted to get his take on it first. But I think you're right. You know, calling the CDC direct, would help, but I don't think we're going to get because we don't vote for the CDC.
Exactly.
And we vote for our senators and representatives at the state level and the federal level. So I was trying to attack it where they're beholden to us because we vote for them.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so that was the reason why I was attacking it that way.
And that's what we need to do. I believe that. Wow. Okay. So yeah, maybe it didn't happen Thursday. And I agree with you about the CDC, you know, withholding numbers. And this last question, would you, if you had a golfing date in, I don't know, we'll say San Diego, would you hop on a plane right now, fly to San Diego, go on a golf, you know, outing? And
No, I would not. I would not want to go to California at all.
How about
in the case of this crisis?
Okay. What about people who have vacations planned? I asked your scheduler this too. A cruise or something. Miami.
It's definitely not a cruise. Because, you know, doing anything that, you know, you're in close quarters with lots of different people from different, you know, different, nationalities and world, you know, and destinations and stuff, you're just asking for transmission.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it. I mean, you can see the spread on the, Diamond Princess in Yokohama. Right.
Yep.
You know, and.
But that's over there. That's over there. Yeah.
Well, here's the cognitive dissonance. You know, people keep on thinking, oh, it's just an Asian problem.
Right.
No, it's here now.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Hey, you know, smack people up to the head, side of the head and say, hey, pay attention to this. All right.
I've been trying. As you know, I've been trying to wake people up.
You've been doing such a great job.
In different venues with different decibel levels. But
I love it. No, I think you've been doing very well, and I appreciate your approach to this. And, you know, you've been so kind to stay longer, much longer than you had agreed to. I could just talk to you all day long because this to me, and the other thing too, you mentioned, I can keep you here till, you know, forever. The banks, the IT, you know, doesn't this kind of go to, let's eradicate cash because cash could be contaminated.
I mean, exactly. And we actually have a report from China that they're talking about this, that they want to get rid of cash.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, the IMF published a paper, I believe it was 2015, where they call it decashing.
Right.
Decashing society.
Yep.
All right. And it was a move to a digital currency where people do not have coinage or actual dollars. Now, here's the problem. We know that the central banks for the last 10 years or so all over the world have been moving towards zero interest rates or negative interest rates.
Yeah.
Now, what that means is that the next recession, which we may be seeing very, very soon here because of what's going on with supply chains,
yep.
The central bank will have to intervene and will have negative interest rates. What that means is that for all the money that's in the bank, you won't get interest. You will be paying more to the bank. It's called bail-in.
Right.
All right. So people, once they get word of that, will start pulling money out and there'll be a bank run. So the prevent a bank run is you force everyone to be in digital currency. And that's what the whole scheme of decashing a society is all about, is that the citizenry cannot vote through just pulling the money out of the bank and putting it under the mattress, which should be the right.
Sure.
But what it is that the banking system is they just view us as little units of commerce. Yeah. And they don't, you know, and we need to wake up because this is another component of this never ending tyranny that I believe starts or is catalyzed right after 9/11. With the Patriot Act.
Yep.
It's about security and it's and you know, trying to protect you, you know. But you know, I like the idea. I want to live free but dangerously instead of live in safety but under tyranny, right? I mean, that's the American way. It's about the entrepreneurial spirit and exploration. You got to take risks. But the nanny state is never ending. It will always take away from you. And we're seeing this with right. The decashing. So this is a perfect opportunity to convince people through predictive programming or the manufactured consensus that, well, it's going to be safer. Johnny isn't going to get sick from Wuhan because I don't have Benjamin Franklin's in my wallet.
That's right.
You know, and that's not the right thing, right way of thinking it, because what happens is you've lost the power to move your money to a safer location because people, the banking industry is truly unsafe.
Yeah.
Your mattress is safer than the banking system.
That's why my mattress is so lumpy. I got all my stuff. But, yeah. but you know, yeah, with digital currency, I mean, poof, it can be gone and you know, just don't know where it is.
Well, not only that is there's so many complex derivatives going on with these banks.
Yep.
What they call exotic derivatives.
Right.
The size of the derivatives market is in thousands times larger than the world economy. All right. And this is the problem is that through financial engineering, they've created toxic assets that they have to keep on moving money around. It's like musical chairs.
And this is your specialty too, right?
Right.
Sorry. I get excited about things. Okay.
So, you know, and they're moving this money around, you know, but if a hiccup happens and someone doesn't do something to pass the hot potato to the other person, you know, the system collapses. And that's the potentiality that we have here. It's not just a pathogen crisis. It could create instable markets and a true financial contagion could take place, similar to Lehman.
Exactly. Yeah, that was pretty unpleasant for many, obviously. Wow. Okay. I got to circle back around because the things are, if you see smoke coming out of there, it's because this guy's a great guest. Now, you mentioned about the Pacific shipping and I'm not trying to drag this out, but I'm just really trying to really grasp the scope of this. The Pacific shipping lanes, the Baltic Dry Index, for example, we got to, I mean, right now we're already economically kind of, somebody smacked us, you know, somebody sucker punched us in a sense.
Right.
With this.
It's tenuous. It's tenuous. It's on a nice knife edge and it could collapse. You know, this is a perfect storm. That's why I keep on saying that you know, my perspective in from chaos theory applies to this, because I'm seeing a harmonic going on with these different, you know, different disciplines of, you know, that we're talking about, different pillars.
Right.
They're going to start, the resonance will be such that they're in tune and it'll be amplified, and that you'll have a chaotic attraction. You'll have a system crash or a nonlinear event, or, you know, whatever word you want to use, but it's bad, you know. But that's why I'm saying, hey, wake up, alarm, you know, it's time to wake up here, because something's happening and we need to band together and, right, and solve the problems. And don't let this tyranny to you know, be at our doorstep.
Amen, brother. I want to thank you for your time, Dr. Paul Cottrell, my guest, the Studio Reykjavik.
Can I just say one thing? You know,
come on, yeah. You can say as much as you want, man. The floor is yours.
All right. So, you know, I like I said, I'll be here all day if you want me.
Okay.
But, you know, I wanted to reach out to all the individuals out there that have been helping me on my channel. I am greatly, I'm so thankful for individuals helping, you know, with the research and sending me stuff. It's a team. You know, I call it my little army, but, you know, it's a team, and it's not about me. It's about a larger community and saving people in our country. But I have a special, you know, heartfelt message to go out to a patriot, and his name's Alex Jones. All right. He right after 9/11 was screaming from the top of his lungs that something bad is happening to our country. Right. And he started this awakening. All right. And I'm reaching out to him for asking for help with his special skills,
absolutely,
with his resources, his connections, his knowledge, to work together to save our country, because this is an existential event, and we need him. I need him. He needs me. The country needs each other, and I'm reaching out to him, to the best of my ability, to try to end what he started, and that was trying to awaken the American public to this never-ending tyranny, and I want to work with him to roll back to a pre-9/11 day peacefully in this country, so our children and our children's children live in freedom.
Amen to that. And I'll tell you what, I do have a feeling you're going to be on with him sooner rather than later. And he's been talking about this as well. Different perspectives, and some of the same. But he knows, and I know him well. I know Owen Schroyer and David Knight and the members of his team, and I know that they're very concerned about our freedoms. When you mentioned that Bio Patriot Act, that really stuck with me early on in the program, Bio Patriot Act. I think you're right. And I think that when we put our assets together, and especially his platform, the large secular platform and Christian platform, and he's got, we need to work together on this. But you know what? Like you, you're getting shadow banned, silenced, and various different.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah. And like, I used to be in the top five searches for coronavirus, and I am nowhere near the top five now.
And that was
I'm cutting edge. My team is producing stuff 5 or 6 days ahead of the game here.
Well, your team, look, your team is working for nothing right now. So
right, everyone is volunteer. And that's why we need donations and help. And, you know, I have an iPhone and an iPad and some computers behind me and a team of subscribers on YouTube trying to do the best that we can. And that's why I view this as kind of like a battle. All right. We're literally on the front line. Yep. And, you know, we're just going with the flow. You know, where is the data taking us and the events? And I have. I have subscribers that are in Asia. I have subscribers in Europe. I have subscribers in North America and South America. So I literally can follow the sun with and getting, you know, so my email box, you know, while I'm sleeping, which is not much lately, but while I'm sleeping, I have people helping on the other side of the planet. It's because there is that human spirit of community to try to solve a problem because we're all in this together.
Yeah, we are. And we, you know, when we're talking about our health, and that's essentially what we're talking about, our health and our freedom. Man, our health though, without that, what do you got? I mean,
right.
You know.
Right. You know, and, you know, just to reiterate with Alex Jones,
yes,
you know, there's a couple things that have taken place, you know, in the media with the shadow banding of individuals like you and myself,
yep.
And others, you know, many others, you know, Mike Dice and many, many others, right. They're well known in the YouTube world. Alex was banned.
Yes, he was,
you know, from YouTube, you know, and exercising his freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to realize that what happened to him is going to happen to us.
Thank you.
If we don't band together,
what he said,
and this community, this we the people that I've been talking about to try to solve the Wuhan crisis is also about protecting our civil liberties. We are all Alex Jones.
Yes, we are.
Really are. We really are. And that, and the thing is that, you know, from a spiritual level, he's been afforded some blessings, a large platform.
Yes.
Connections.
Yep.
You know, and materiel to be able to create a movement. He's kind of like the John Hancock of the revolution.
Okay.
And, yep. And, you know, there's others in this thing that's going on. That will have their own perspectives. So it would be Hamiltons and Jeffersons and, you know, and Adams and George Washingtons out there that will try to save this country and protect our freedoms.
Hell, that's what we're trying to do. I mean, right here through this platform. Yeah. You know, I was telling my wife, I got to tell you this. I was telling my wife yesterday, you know, it'd be much easier if I was like, you know, in a cabin somewhere, where it's not as cold and it's not as rainy and snowy and, with my dog and just, my dog, my book and I don't know, some food. And,
well, you know, it's easy to have the cognitive dissonance and just say, I'm just going to check out and be, you know, that egocentric kind of point of view. But it goes back to that American spirit.
That's right.
You know, it's those stars that are on that flag. You know, it's not one star.
That's right.
It's 50 stars.
Yep.
And that's a symbol. That symbol is togetherness. You know,
I love
and
that.
It's just,
yep.
You know, so Alex Jones warned the public right after 9/11 that's, you know, things were
and awry before.
And it's been covering it ever since.
Yes, he has. Right?
And it dovetails into what I've been talking about with the Wuhan virus and this Biopatriot Act, which will be the other bookend. He's the first end of the bookend.
You coined that term.
And I'm talking
Biopatriot Act. Yeah. You coined that, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, I did.
I want to make sure it's properly attributed. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the other end of this long continuum is this event 201, this existential event, this bio existential event. And the time to act is now.
Yeah.
Peacefully. But the time to act is now. And he's the John Hancock of this.
That's right.
And I think he knows that.
I think deep down inside, he does know that. Yeah.
You know, but it's time. It's time to take our country back. Enough is enough. We're going to a pre 9/11 day, but we need the citizenry to rise up and do what we need them to do. And that is to reach out to their representatives. And to
demand transparency.
Demand transparency. What's the plan when it comes to the outbreak? How are we going to work together? And, you know, not only that, we're not going to have a Biopatriot Act. We're not going to allow it. We're going to be awake and we're not going to allow it. And not only that, we're going to roll back the never-ending surveillance state to a pre-9/11 day.
I think we can do
that. That is the big enchilada. That is, you know, and let's not worry about healthcare or all these, you know, little tangential things right now. We have an existential threat going on right now. And the biggest thing that should take all of our attention is what we're talking about and all the different dimensions of it.
Amen to that. Wow. You know, when I was anxious for your appearance today, I knew it was going to be good. I just didn't think it would be this good. And I knew it was going to be big, but I didn't think it would be this big. And I really appreciate
it. We're just scratching the surface.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's going to get, as the new data comes in and we start understanding what the CDC was really doing behind the scenes. And, all these legislatures, I only have, proof on the New York State legislature, as you showed up on the screen.
Right.
And what was going on at HHS. But I am positive that there is, other things in the works at other state legislatures that erode your biological civil liberties. And this is these components that I'm talking about that all snap together with a larger act, which I call the BioPatriot Act.
My goodness.
And we cannot, because what they'll do is force vaccinate. That they'll force the vaccinations. And we can't go down that road. Independent of if you're pro-vax or anti-vax, it's about this is a civil liberties issue.
And that pro-vax too, I didn't mean to over-talk you, but it's one thing about the measles, mumps, rubella, that kind of stuff, and versus this, more people, non-red-pilled people will say, okay, yeah, give me the vaccine. Is there a vaccine that's been developed for this or no? We don't know.
No, it's being worked on. Fauci, Dr. Fauci has been talking about the messenger RNA vaccination. There, it's being developed, and then it'll go into clinical trials probably in about 2 months, 2.5 months from now. It's to see. But unfortunately, some of these vaccines, and this is important to mention to the viewers to get a little sciencey now. In animal models, some of these vaccines for coronavirus create these cytokine storms. So what happens is that they give the vaccine to the animal, then over a little bit of time, then they actually infect the animal with the virus, and it actually creates a worse situation for the animal, and the pulmonary disease is rapid.
Yes.
So they had to stop the development. Now, there is some worry out there, rightfully so, that we don't know the long-term effects of this. Will there be a secondary or tertiary wave that creates these cytokine storms, even though that first wave is okay? That's the point I'm making with Fauci, is that there's not enough longitudinal data to prove out the new vaccine platform.
That's correct.
Messenger RNA, let alone the quality control issues. There's two issues with this. The quality control issue, where you might have a working vaccine, but you may have quality issues later down the road.
Right.
And then the long-term effects of a messenger RNA new platform, what does that do to our cells? And here's the thing, is that when you're talking about messenger RNA, you can Trojan horse reverse transcriptase into that. Well, reverse transcriptase, you can put insert stuff into your genome. They can literally, this technology, if used, could move stuff into the genome.
Okay.
So you trust a government give you something that you can't prove?
Mm.
And then they put something in the genome, and then years later, you end up starting to get strange cancers or strange diseases, or it affects the germline, and it's four generations later. There's even some diseases that something happens where it takes four generations to pop up. So, we need testing and third party proving of these vaccines.
Amen to that. Dr. Paul Cottrell, you've been such a gracious guest. Thank you so very much. We're actually out of time for the program. Thank you. Thank you. Please come back. And believe me, I'll be talking to InfoWars here soon and shortly. And expect a call. All right.
Well,
all right, folks, that'll do it for me. I want to say thank you again to Dr. Paul Cottrell, the studio Reykjavik. It's going to be in the program description box. Just go to HagmanReportLive.com. Do that, okay? That way you'll know where to go, HagmanReportLive.com. I hope you spread this out to your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your coworkers, your doctors. I don't know. I mean, wow. What a great show. And what a, I mean, this is a big picture. All right, I'll shut up now until tomorrow. Make God. Oh, we got a great week lined up for you, Sandy, tomorrow. Steve Quayle with Gary. Well, I'll tell you more about that later. It's going to be a great week. Have a good night, folks.